You know, sometimes roadblocks, they just pop out of nowhere, and especially seems like when everything is going great. Well, that was certainly the case for our next guest. He experienced a medical setback in the middle of a very successful weightlifting career. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, in for Larry Mueller today. Thanks for staying with us on the Ideas Network. And here to tell us his story is Michael Love. Mike is a weightlifter and a retired police officer, and he holds the national deadlift record for his age group, and he's training to break the bench press record. This month, I believe he's trying to do that. So have you come back to a sport after a serious injury? Well, we'd like to hear from you. Share your story with us, or maybe you're interested in getting started to do weightlifting. Join the conversation with your questions or your comments. The number is 800-642-1234, or send us an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. So Mike, thanks for coming in.
Jill, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. So how did you get into weightlifting?
I've been weightlifting since I was a teenager. I just always liked it, did it in my basement in my parents' house. And as I became older and out on my own, I just kept after it. And I never really got into like powerlifting, which is kind of what I'm doing now. But about 3 years ago, well, actually 4 years ago, I was coming back from a surgery. And my goal was to get back to deadlifting 225 because I was like, if I get to 225, that's plenty. I don't need to do more than that. And I was watching a television show in my basement while I was working out, and a guy named Eddie Hall, who is British, in 2016 pulled a 500-kilogram deadlift, so 1,102 pounds. And when he did that, he's pulls the weight up. I'm watching this. Blood's running out his nose. He gets it locked out, puts it down, and passes out. And I was like, that is really cool. I wonder if I can do that.
Mike, has a psychiatrist talked to you?
Many times.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. So tell me, did your mom yell at you a lot in that basement with you dropping your weights?
No, I set them down pretty gently.
Oh,
so
that's nice of you.
It wasn't a lot of clang.
Yeah.
Now I drop them pretty hard.
Oh,
so, yeah.
So what did that early weight set look like?
It was just real simple. I mean, it was like you could pick it up like Montgomery Ward, which is really dating me.
Uh-huh.
It was just a simple bar with concrete with plastic around them, really simple stuff. And when you used them enough, the plastic would split, and then you'd get the concrete dust leaking out. But it's what I did. I mean, I was a pretty small guy, and just was like, I just want to go lift weights, and so that kind of kept me motivated.
Yeah, that makes sense. But though there wasn't like a sport or anything that was in, you know, that you were doing it for?
No, it was just for fun. I mean,
okay.
In high school, I ran track and stuff like that, so that wasn't like a big deal for it, but I just enjoyed lifting weights.
So what is the enjoyment? I mean, what does it do for you personally? I mean, mentally, physically?
It helps both. I mean, I like challenges that are, you know, sort of me against myself. And the weightlifting is that there's no, the iron never lies. People have said that, many people much stronger than me. It's like, if you can lift the weight, you're strong enough to do it. If you can't, you got to keep training to get to that. And so it's really me preparing myself both physically and mentally to be able to pull that weight. And as much as it's me doing the weight, it's a lot of people around me that allow me to do it and help me get better. My wife supports me because it takes literally hours of work to do it. About a year ago, I got connected with a coach down at Ford's Gym, Sam Massino. He has gotten it to the next level for me. And so my friends that are behind me and, you know, encourage me, things like that. So it's, I get to do the lift, but it's a lot of people there with me.
So you had mentioned earlier that you were coming back from major surgery. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened in that case?
So I'd been working out. This was before I got connected with my coach. And I'd gotten up to a 430-pound deadlift at home. And my form was terrible, but I was just working on my own because I didn't know any better. I had no programming. But I was doing the weightlifting and cardio, and things were going really well. And then one night a year ago, last June, I laid down in bed and I started to feel chest pain. And I was like, ah, it's probably just stress. So I ignored it. And then 2 weeks later, that chest pain came back when I was laying down again at night. And it ran down my left arm. And I'm like, okay, this is something more serious than just stress. And so called 911, ended up at UW Hospital, ER. And next thing you know, they're like, you need heart surgery. And the morning of the surgery, because I've always been in shape. I've always taken care of myself. The morning of the surgery, as they were prepping me, I'll never forget, one of the guys said, you are the most in-shape person we have ever done surgery on. And so before it, I said, this is my goal. I want to break the world record deadlift for my age and weight. This is not going to stop me, so please do whatever you got to do. And they went way above and beyond for me. So it was going to be a triple bypass, and they ended up doing a quintuple bypass. And I think the surgeon just wanted to give my heart muscle even more blood to help it. And then when they put my sternum back together, because literally they crack you open like a lobster, usually they just use stainless steel wire to sort of hold it together until it mends. And he put titanium plates down my sternum to really help it stay together while it mends. And so they said after the surgery, the most I could lift was 10 pounds until I was 12 weeks out. And so I stayed at the 10 pounds until about 8 weeks. And then I started lifting a little bit heavier. And at 12 weeks, I was pulling about 185-pound deadlift. And once I hit 12 weeks and everything felt good, I just started really pressing from there. So it was going good.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, I'm in the studio here with Mike. He looks wonderful. You would never know this man was ever sick. So that is quite the comeback. You've got to be so proud of yourself.
You know, I appreciate that. I've just always been someone that needs to, like, push, and I can't accept that, you know, this happened and that's going to stop me from doing something I want to do. But it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah, the mental aspect of recovering has got to be a huge part of every recovery.
I think it is. And I think that's what people, when they go through any kind of surgery, like I've had both knees scoped for torn meniscuses, my shoulder scoped for there was a bone digging into my rotator cuff. I had a triple hernia surgery. And it's like after both knee surgery, I was running 10 days after the surgery. I was lifting weights a week after my shoulder surgery. And I think we can choose to sort of push faster than a lot of people think we're capable of doing. And my surgeons have always been like, let pain be your guide. And so as long as it doesn't hurt too bad, I'm going to go after it.
I like you ended that with hurt too bad. But people have to be careful, though, because you were in great, great condition to begin with. So those that aren't can't expect to have that same kind of recovery, I would imagine.
That's true. In fact, the surgeon who did my knees and shoulders said other people's mileage will vary a lot because, you know, most people don't stay in the conditioning level that I was at when I did those.
Yeah. Now, you're retired from the police force. How did the being in shape help you with that job?
That job is constant, you know, being on your toes and walking around and talking to people and dealing with different things. So I think just being in shape in general is a big part of the job. And then you know, lifting weights, again, makes you more capable of taking care of what needs to be done. And one of the things that my coworkers used to joke about is after I would suit up and get ready for a shift, the men's locker room at the West District Station, you walk out through the fitness center to the briefing room. And so there was a chin-up bar. And so with like 40 pounds of gear on, I would do 10 pull-ups and then go to the, you know, to the briefing. And so that was kind of a running joke with a lot of my friends.
I'm sure, as they're eating donuts, right? Sorry, I know that's stereotypical.
But still somewhat true.
Well, yeah. So mentally, though, I mean, being a police officer is very difficult, obviously. So was the exercise then really helpful for you in that area, too?
Big time. I think the more you feel physically capable of handling things, the more relaxed you can actually be. And the other part of working out for me is it reduces stress. And so I think whatever exercise program people pick, if you stick with it, it will help you sort of get those endorphins flowing and everything else, and it'll help your stress levels go down quite a bit, I think.
So let's talk a little bit about this record that you're hoping to break. Is it correct this month you want to try it?
So in August of last year, I broke the USPA National Deadlift record with a 457.5-pound deadlift. And now I'm training to break my own record with a 500-pound deadlift. And so my coach actually, there was going to be a meet last Saturday. And as we were coming up to it, he's like, this isn't going to peak correctly for where I want you to be. So we're going to do a meet a little bit later in the year, in May. And should be ready to pull 500 pounds hopefully by then. It's a different federation, so that world record is higher, so I think we're just going to keep pressing for more weight on the deadlift for
pressing
now.
Pressing for no weight, right? good one. So we'll talk a little bit more about this, obviously, after our news break, but what are the, you've been saying like deadlift, and what are the different kinds of lifts that are in the sport?
So in powerlifting, there's three lifts. There's the squat, which is you put the barbell across your back and you go down to your thighs parallel to the ground. There's the bench where you're laying on your back, pick up the barbell, put it down or bring it down to your chest and push it back up. And then the deadlift, which is all the weights on the barbell on the ground and you lift it and stand up straight with it. And so that's something that I like to do.
Okay. Well, we're definitely going to get more information from Michael after we head out for the news. But we're talking with Michael Love. He's a weightlifter who holds the national deadlift record for his age group and is training to break the bench press record. What would you like to know about weightlifting? Well, please give us a call, 800-642-1234. And we'll be back right after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for spending some of your day with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about weightlifting, and we talked a little bit earlier about coming back from a medical setback, and about passion after doing that. And our guest is Michael Love. Michael is a weightlifter and a retired police officer, and he holds the national deadlift record for his age group, and he is training to break the bench press record. Are you new to weightlifting or wanting to get started? What questions do you have about setting up your own home gym? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. And of course, you can send us an email. That's ideas@wpr.org. So before we went to news, Mike, we had talked a little bit about, would you tell us a little bit more about the sport itself? And Jessica, we will get to you in just a bit. I know you've been waiting with a question, but, there's weightlifting. There's classes and age, whatever. Tell us a little bit about that.
So for powerlifting, there are different classes. They break it down by weights, body weights. So I'm in the 75 kilogram class, 165.2 pounds. And so I really have to watch my body weight because it's very easy to add mass. And then age group. So I'm in the 65 to 69 age group. And each of the records are basically broken down by that. And then within that, there's what they call raw, which is there's no assistance, like no suits, no straps, anything like that. You can get into single ply, which is a suit that's kind of tight and is what just basically one layer, and then multiply. And so there are a lot of different ways you can go with the classes that you want to participate in. And then there's basically the three types of lifts, the squat, the bench, and the deadlift. And you can choose to do all of them or one of them, which is what I've been doing. It's just the deadlift.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it breaks down in a mm-hmm. meet.
Great. You said that you have to watch your weight. Now, when you're building muscle, aren't you gaining weight? How do you do that?
That's an interesting question. The amazing part of this is after my heart surgery, I lost 20 pounds. I was on a liquid diet while I was in the hospital, and it just my body consumes itself when I don't get enough calories. And so I came out 20 pounds lighter. And so part of the process of getting back was building that muscle mass back up. And so I got up to about 173, 174 pounds as I was coming back in and gaining strength. And then for my first meet, I started a cut, and that let me get my body weight down to that under 165.2. And my body composition has changed. So I'm actually gaining muscle mass and losing body fat while I'm in the process of doing this. And you know, there are stories out there that after picking age 35, 40, you can't gain muscle mass anymore. Completely inaccurate based on my sample group of me. You can gain muscle mass. It takes eating right and lifting right, and you can lose body fat and gain muscle mass and maintain a body weight while you're doing it.
I think I read about a study that said just that recently. So, yeah, don't use age as an excuse.
Yes.
Okay, Jessica, thank you for your patience. Jessica's in Illinois, and she has a question for you, Mike. Go ahead, Jessica.
Yes, hi. I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm enjoying the guest host as well as the guest.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For someone over 40, a woman like myself, who's in, you know, excellent health, what do you recommend as far as just starting out? I understand to talk with my doctor and all of that, but what would be a good weight? I'm on the thin side, you know, proportionate and all that. So that was my question.
Well, I think the big question that I have is, what are your goals? What would you like to achieve as you do this? That's something that, as I got into powerlifting, I had a very specific goal, break this record. And so that sort of drove everything else. And I think if your goal is to add muscle mass, then in any program, you want to start out simple and slow and sort of build off of it. And during the break, we were even talking, resistance bands are something that you can start with. You know, going to a gym that has a variety of machines that are available so that you have someone there, perhaps a trainer that can help you get started on the right program. Nutrition is a big part of it. What we eat is so important for gaining muscle mass. And, you know, the combination of picking the right program, whether it's, you know, you can work out 3 days a week and you hit major body parts on each of those 3 days, or if you have 5 days a week to work out, breaking it down that way. The meals that you eat, like I do 200 grams of protein a day, about 120 grams of carbs, and then the fats I don't worry too much about. So how much protein we take in is a big part of it as well. But I think that's your starting point, is kind of figure out what your goal is and then research it a bit to find out what's the best program to get you to that goal, whether it's firming things up or adding muscle mass. If you want to add muscle mass, you need an excess of calories to make that happen. And then getting heavier in weights is also part of the process.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Jessica?
It does, and thank you for mentioning that about the resistance bands. I was initially thinking, okay, I should go get some free weights, but I will start with the bands. Okay. I appreciate that.
Excellent. Good luck, Jessica. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. We had a caller earlier who couldn't stay, Bob, I believe it was, but he's like, how do you even set up a home gym? Where do you start with that?
Well, I think it comes back to start with what your goals are. And if your goals are, I want to do more cardio, and it's hard to do that, you know, when it's cold outside, you like to walk or run, then a treadmill is a great place to start with that. Ellipticals are another great way. Jumping rope is great cardio. If, you know, you want to get into weightlifting, then it starts simple. I think sometimes people go all in on something and they go overboard and then they've got far too much equipment and they look at it and go, I don't even know how to use all this stuff.
True.
So
yeah,
it started out simple. You know, kettlebells are huge now with a lot of people, and there are some great programs on YouTube, and you can research it on the internet with being able to go out and just do kettlebell programs that will tone you up and give you better endurance, things like that. You know, again, if it comes down to you want to add muscle mass, then you can start looking at the bigger programs of bench, squat, deadlift. To me, those are the three big ones. Deadlifts hit everything, your legs, your back, your shoulders, your core. Bench, obviously, is hitting your chest. Squats are hitting, again, pretty much everything, your back, your core, your legs. So, but then there are accessory movements like dumbbell flies and, you know, dumbbell curls. Just you can get into everything. And I think that's where sort of researching different programs are a way to go. And that's where my coach really got me to the next level. All I knew how to do was to go 100% every time to failure. And I ended up injured a lot. And with someone actually guiding me now, I don't end up injured. I don't feel like I'm going to failure all the time, but I keep making improvement. And I think that's where having the right people helping you and guiding you is important.
So maybe starting out, go somewhere else, find out what you like.
Yep.
And get someone to tell you how to do it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And get some guidance. And then you can sort of say, okay, these are the things I need at home to be able to do the goal without going to the gym every day.
Right. Now, talking like safety, I mean, do you need spotters for any of this? I mean, the bench press can be dangerous.
Yes. So spotters are important. Since I don't have a spotter, what I have are safety arms on my squat rack. And the way I've got those set, if I can't do a bench and push it back up, it will basically, if I exhale, it'll set on the safety bars, and then I can slide out from underneath it. And I've had to do that more than once. But those are the things that, you know, you learn with experience. There were times where I didn't have a safety bar, and you set it on your chest, and you roll it down and sit up and then put it on the floor. But as you get heavy to the point where it can injure you, you definitely want those safety features like the arms or spotters, and just learning good form. Form is everything, whether it's with any kind of a lift. If you have bad form, you're more prone to injury as well. And so that's where, like, I used to watch YouTube videos of, like, really great deadlifters, and I would try and emulate them, but I didn't come close enough to it. And that's where having a coach really gets me to where we're working on my form and getting that better and sort of making it safer.
Yeah, because they can see you. You can't see yourself. So yes. Even with the mirrors, it's not the same. We've got a call from Michael in La Crosse. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I would just like to comment what's worked for me. I'm 64 years old. And, when I was around 60, I joined an exercise club that primarily used kettlebell. But then COVID hit and everybody started working from home, so I was no longer going to the gym. And I just bought a few kettlebells, a few dumbbells, and really have come up with what works for me. And I'm just really trying to maintain muscle tone and some strength as I get older. But with a few dumbbells, a few kettlebells, and then I recently bought a pull-up bar, and push-ups are a main part of my exercise too. But within, you know, and I work out probably 3 to 4 times a week just in my own basement for 35 minutes, and it really works for me. So I'm just wanting to encourage people, to your point earlier, you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of stuff, but it's what works for you. But that's really worked for me.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate sharing that. Mike, what comments do you have on that?
I think that's the perfect way to look at it. You know, obviously, Mike's figured out what is important to him for his goals for it and has gotten the equipment to do that. So that's exactly how people should approach this kind of stuff.
Okay, great. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 800-642-1234. So let's get back into competition. If somebody wants to watch, where do they go?
There are competitions all over. I mean, I started out, my first meet was in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, that was a learning experience for me. I'd been with my coach probably less than 2 months with him training me. So we hadn't really progressed very far. And a lot of it was my still bad technique and everything else. And I got my first two lifts, missed my third one. And that is the only lift I've missed in a competition. It was one of those things where you're just like, I can't believe I just did that. So There are meets all over, actually, in Madison. They happen pretty frequently there. Ford's Gym has one. I think it's on April 1st this year, called the Backyard Meet, if people want to go watch that. It's a lot of fun. I competed in that last year, and it's just great people. And that's the beauty of powerlifting meets that I've been to. The people that are competing are really amazing, very supportive of each other. The crowds are very supportive. When you get up there, like the first time I stood on the platform to lift and I saw all these people, I was like, oh my God. It was like one of those moments. And so I stared at the ceiling so I didn't have to look at any of them. I did my breathing and then I did the lift. And so that has become like the pattern now that I do. But in the video, I don't hear people when I'm lifting, but in the videos, you can hear people cheering you on and things like that. And I think meets are a great way to meet others and to sort of push yourself and really enjoy what you're doing.
Do you have to know a lot before you go?
No, I mean, I kind of researched it, and you can look at YouTube videos and, you know, you want to read the rules for whatever federation that you want to compete in, because equipment is a lot of what gets regulated. So the type of singlet that you wear, the type of belt that you wear, the shoes, all of those things you have to have right. And so you don't want to go in there to a meet and not be prepared for what equipment you're supposed to have. And then also know what the weight categories are so that if you have a specific goal in mind, you're at the weight that you need to be for it. And I, again, much more advanced lifters and experienced lifters than I have said, you shouldn't be cutting for a meet unless you're going for a record. And so, you know, don't go into it and think, I need to cut 15 pounds to get to this weight category, especially when you start. Just go out and have fun with it.
I think that's a good advice for a lot of things, right?
Yes.
Paul in Menominee has a comment for us. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mike. I was into weightlifting about 60 years ago, and in those days, the Olympic lifts were the main thing where they emphasized speed plus power. And what you're doing in those days, they called odd lifts, and there was no speed involved. And so the old Olympic lifts were a standing press, a snatch, and a clean and jerk. Have you tried any of those, seen any of those?
So I haven't tried those myself. I've actually seen them. And I think there's a lot of technical competency to do Olympic lifting. Some of those are very complicated movements, and I have a lot of respect for Olympic lifters. One of the folks at the place where I work, Vortex Optics, actually runs an Olympic lifting gym here in Madison. And again, he and I talk about lifting, and Olympic lifters have a lot of strength and technique that I don't.
Each one, I would imagine, has specific things that you need to do in order to be good at them. Okay. When it comes to, hopefully you'll break your record in May. What next?
Just keep going. So my goal is to see what I'm humanly capable of doing. And I joked with my coach that the next guy who comes along to try and break my record, I want blood running out of his nose. I want him to be in a lot of pain to do it. So that's my goal.
Okay. What are the actual weight and age groupings for competition?
So they're... they basically start out in groups of, it depends on the federation and the classes, but I can't break them all down. I just know that, like, in the USPA, there's 61 to 65, 61 to 64, 64 to 69, 70 to something. And so, but then you've got, like, juniors, which are teenagers, and then the open class, which are, you know, usually people in their 20s to 30s, and they break those down. So there's a lot of different age groups. And then the weight groups start out at actually fairly lightweight and go all the way up to 330 pound plus. the super heavyweights. So it has a lot of different categories that people can fit into.
Everybody will fit into one of those,
yes,
for sure. So we did get a email from David in Shorewood, and I think you probably addressed some of this, but he wanted to thank you for sharing your story. And he's curious about how your heart condition has impacted what you did while adding training to improve your performance at this point in your life.
I think, so this is the interesting thing. I get asked the question, did you notice you have more energy now since they did the heart surgery? And the answer is no. I never had any problems with the conditioning or lifting that I was doing. I never felt short of breath. I never was tired like so many people who have cardiac problems complain about. And so for me, it's just that now I don't have to worry about having a heart attack. And that was the hard part, sort of accepting that no matter what kind of shape you're in or the training that you do, genetics can override that. And even if you eat healthy and you work out a lot, there may be that demon lurking in the background that you don't know about. And so I feel very fortunate. I got lucky that the warning sign, I took it the second time, and things turned out very well, better than I could have ever hoped.
Yeah, that's a tale too, that people, if you have pain like that, call 911. If it was nothing, that's okay. It's fine. They'd rather have you call. So yeah, that can be kind of scary. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. We've got a few minutes left. 1-800-642-1234. So what about younger people? You mentioned that the age classes are younger. Do they have to worry about, you know, hurting something as they're growing?
So that kind of beyond what I am really familiar with, how mm-hmm. young people should work out from a weightlifting standpoint. I see younger folks that are working out, and I think if it's properly done, you can probably work out, lift weights at any age. I think if you're trying to lift super heavy at a younger age, you might be prone to injuring yourself. But again, that's something more for somebody that specializes in that to answer.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're talking a little bit about what you eat, your nutrition. How do you keep track of how much protein and carbs that you eat during the day?
I have an app on my smartphone, Fitness Pal. And so I just enter in what I eat every day and kind of keep track of that. And so my coach gave me very specific goals of this amount of protein, this amount of carbs, this amount of water. Water is so important for making sure that you're staying hydrated, and then you have to take in salts with that so your electrolytes stay properly balanced. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And that and recovery, which is sleep and downtime, like Tuesdays and Fridays are rest days for me. So I don't lift. I do stretching. But all of those things go into helping you actually get stronger. It's not the weightlifting part of it, is just kind of a part of the total equation.
Okay. And just really quickly, we have Rich in Milwaukee with a comment. Hi, Rich. Go right ahead.
What I wanted to say was I got a pretty well-equipped gym in my basement, and I got most of this stuff used on Facebook Marketplace or eBay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, and Rich, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are running out of time. Mike, thank you so much for being with us. We really, really appreciate it. We've been talking with Mike Love. He's a weightlifter who holds the national deadlift record for his age group and is training to break the bench press record. Good luck with that, Mike. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Wetland Science Conference and find out what plants to grow to attract birds to your yard. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well.